year now?
No. Ed should come up here and do it.
Well, that's going to be sad.
All right, it is 6 o'clock. We will go ahead and get started. I'd like to call the Monday, March the 15th meeting to order. First on the agenda, we have Rob Morales from Suez American.
Advanced Solutions.
Oh, okay.
Advanced Solutions, yep. Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm Rob Morales. I'm what they call a water systems consultant for Suez Advanced Solutions. I'm going to go through a brief presentation here. Just kind of, Larry and I talked a little bit about your water storage tanks primarily, but we do some other stuff in the water services as well, which I'll touch on briefly. But we did go out and look at your tanks about a week and a half ago. Just going to touch on kind of the way we approach managing these type of assets, and then a little bit about your tanks. I'm not going to get into too many details because time is limited. So if there's any questions, just go ahead and shout them out. A couple of quick pictures of your tanks off the bat. And a little bit about my company. We're the largest asset management company in the country. We have over 8,000 assets that we manage all over the whole country. There's a handful of them in this area, which I'll talk about at the end. We have a number of different operations locations throughout the country. The closest ones to here are primarily Ohio. We have one in New York and one in Massachusetts, and there's also one in North Carolina. I'm the local representative covering Maryland, Delaware, and South Central Pennsylvania. On the right-hand side of that slide, you can see all the different things we get involved with. I'm going to primarily talk about tank asset management today, but we also do water quality, which is like meters and TRS removal systems, things of that nature. We get involved with concrete and plant rehab stuff. Network asset management is our fancy term for water mains. And then we also get involved with meter asset management, which I spoke to Larry about a little bit briefly as well, which we can talk about maybe another time as well. Kind of what we do is quality. We focus primarily on safety and the highest quality work that can be done. That's kind of the trademark of our company. We're a very large company. This is one division that I work for. I'm a large multinational company. The Advanced Solutions piece, which I work for, is our asset management, maintenance, coatings part. And really, we've been doing this tank asset management for a very long time. We basically invented how this is done back in the early 80s. We've been working on tanks since the 60s primarily. Like I said earlier, we have over 8,000 assets that we currently manage. Some tanks are over 100 years old that we have. And, you know, we have 120 crews throughout the country that work on. So, you know, what are utilities commonly battling? You know, what are your issues? You know, aging infrastructure, we all know about that. Water quality, that's sometimes unknown. You know, your operators may not know it until it's too late that you have a problem. Lack of funds, every town I talk to, that's the problem. Hey, we want to do more with less. How do we do that? And then staffing challenges. Many towns and municipalities I talk to, they have, you know, most of their lead operators are aging out, or they don't have somebody coming up below, or they only have limited guys that are coming up after. So they really have a problem with doing all they can with limited staff. So really the four key elements of our program is we shift risk. So basically, we don't own your asset. We're basically taking the risk of that asset onto our company. That's the main thing that we do. Second thing that we do is we allow custom financial models. So we can spread cost of any work that we do over multiple years. We can do the work farther out in a program. We can do it in the first year and then spread the cost over multiple years. It's something that we offer that pretty much any other company doesn't offer. Perpetual warranty. Everything that we do is warranted as long as they're on the contract, basically. So what we have, our program, is a one-year contract that's automatically renewed every year for an annual fee. That's kind of how we do it. We don't have to do it that way, but that's the kind of the main program that we have. And the idea behind that is once you're on the program, anything that we've done to the tank is warrantied forever till the end of the contract ends. And the fourth thing is 100% accountability. Basically, we're accountable for whatever happens with that tank. So that's kind of the risk transfer piece. Also, you know, if there's warranty work or the regulations change or OSHA regulations change, that's kind of our problem. Make sure that the tank now meets all those current conditions. So why storage tanks? It's a critical asset. You know, they're huge. They cost a lot of money to replace. They can last forever if they're maintained properly. So, you know, this is a really good place to consider an asset management program. It's a high-risk asset. If it goes down or if there's a problem, the town could really be taking on additional liability. You know, if you have a fire and the tank is not working properly, you could have an issue with that. If you have some kind of water quality issue where townspeople are getting sick or there's no faith in the water quality, that's a huge liability. So really, the thing about water tanks is they're, in many cases, for the operator, it's kind of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind situation. Have the tanks there. It's got water in it. We're good. It seems to be working. In many cases, they don't recognize that, yeah, there's a regular maintenance cycle for tanks. There's things that need to be done. You really want somebody looking at it on a regular basis. So we do all that as part of our program. That's some of the stuff that we provide. So the traditional approach, which you may or may not be familiar with, I'm sure you're familiar with it for other stuff that you do, is the bid approach. You put something out to bid every 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 years. You have a number of companies get involved to try to respond to that bid. You hire an engineer to put the bid together, and then you have all these different people that are involved in the bid process, the engineer, the coatings manufacturers, the inspection firms, the contractors. They all kind of have to work together, and then this number is put together. And really what you end up getting is a coating system that's warranted for 1 year that you pay for pretty much every 15 years. You got to come up with this huge capital expense to do that, typically. So, and you guys still own the risk of that asset. It's just, you know, you're just paying somebody to paint it, and then they go away. So what our approach is a little bit different. It's the asset management approach. It's basically you deal with us only. We handle all that stuff. We're the engineer. We're the inspection firm. We're the coatings manufacturer. We're the coatings company. We do it all. So really, you're only dealing with one point of contact, and we're responsible for that tank now going out into the future. So as long as it's on our program, there's never another big cost. We basically fix it all at once, then we charge you an annual fee. And that annual fee covers the next coating. It covers the annual inspections. It covers all the things that could potentially happen down the road. So that's a little bit of a different approach. The cost has been shown to save money over the long haul in many cases, because you're basically paying with now money for things that are going to happen later versus waiting for it to fail again, and then it's a big capital expense. So it's a little bit different way of looking at things. Some of the benefits, I'm not going to read all those, but basically you're taking an approach of really being proactive. I'm sorry, can you see that?
No, you're fine.
Of really being proactive with your asset. It would be it's not the same, but kind of like a car. You wouldn't ever get your oil change. You wouldn't basically let your car run until it fails. You try to be proactive. You try to be out in front of it. And it really is, our approach is a unique approach for municipalities, because we allow different funding options and different ways of looking at things. And because of the size and kind of the experience that we've had with many municipalities, we're able to do this. We're able to basically, I don't want to say extend financing, but extend the ability for towns to pay over a longer period of time for things that would typically be a large capital expense. What do we do? Annual inspections. We basically are responsible for any emergency responses, any repairs, any really anything that could be considered a problem with the tank. We don't cover things underground. We don't cover antennas and things that are on the tank. If you happen, like the one tank does have some antennas on it, we do work with you when the cell company wants to put more antennas or change things. We try to be involved with that process to make sure that they're doing it properly with respect to our maintenance piece. There's many occasions where they'll put cables and things in places that we don't like, and we try to help you guys tell them not to do that. But basically, we want to be responsible for everything involved with that tank to make sure you're providing clean drinking water to your town. that is really the primary reason why you have that storage tank. So just a little bit about the two tanks. Looked at Caroline Street tank first. You know, the tank was actually in pretty good shape. There were a couple of little issues. The exterior, there's, I don't know, are those Christmas lights or something?
Yes.
That are on that tank. So obviously if we were to do a major renovation, that would all have to come off and we'd have to figure out a way to put that back on. Right now it's not really affecting anything. They're just basically stuck to the tank. It's not like they're welded or anything like that. Yeah, so we could take that off. That's not a big deal. But we would, you know, that would be part of the process of if you wanted to power wash it or clean it or do whatever we would recommend, you know, that we would need to address that at some point. There are some issues, which I'll show on the second slide, of a couple of, when we inspect tanks, we basically look at safety, security, sanitary conditions of the tank, structural and coating. So they looked at all that when they were up there. The interior looks pretty good. It is probably time for a washout. You can see there's a fair amount of sediment and some things going on in there. There are a couple of what I would call more modern safety things that we would recommend for the interior with the downpipe that goes down. Usually we put a grate over that now. Maybe put some kind of safety place for our guys to hook on at the bottom. So that's recommended. The adhesion, what you see on the far right, is really good, actually. The tank is, the exterior paint is actually in pretty good shape still. Some other things, minor things, the manway, the bolts are rusted. We would probably replace all those bolts. On the exterior underside, you can see there's a fair amount of, really it's just where the water leaks down to the bottom. It just probably needs to be power washed, and then we can get a better look as to whether that is more critical. And then there's wires and things up on the balcony that we would consider a trip hazard. But, you know, just a brief, just a kind of a summary, tank's in relatively good shape, you know, exterior can be power washed, some minor prep, and an overcoat. You know, we would recommend an overcoat in the next 3 years or so. The way that the overcoat works is at some point that adhesion gets to a point where you can't overcoat it. We're not at that point now. We're still in pretty good shape. On the interior, really the paint is in very good shape on the interior. We would say, you know, the next 5 years it would probably need renovation. But, you know, what we would recommend is just inspect it every year, do the washout. We also have a process we call chem clean, where we actually take all that biofilm off the interior tank, really clean it properly. That's really good for water quality as well. So that would be something we would recommend. And then there are some minor repairs. The tank is not that old, the Caroline Street one. So there have been some things updated since when it was built. The overflow needs to be updated, really just a new screen on there. The vent, there was an issue with the vent. It's still a good vent. It just needs to be repaired. The interior safety upgrades I talked about. We would coat the foundation and then just clean up that balcony area and the manway stuff. And then the chem clean. And it was recommended to put an active mixer in that tank. It's not required. But if you had water quality issues or anything that was noticeable, usually we put a mixer in the tank if that's the case. The other tank, Industrial Park, older tank, looks like it was coated about the same time as the other one, maybe a little bit earlier than that. A couple of things that we would like to address, the exterior antennas. We talked about earlier the cell tower stuff. There's a lot going on up there, and it's difficult to access the top of the tank with the way they've got it arranged. So we may want to work with your cell tower provider and just say, hey, look, maybe move this stuff out, put a bigger corral, whatever we need to do. Really, the exterior is in pretty good shape. There's some mildew going on. Again, the clear coat, the adhesion on the exterior is not bad. This tank was painted with clear coat, which was the way they were doing it in the, I'd say, late 90s to mid 2000s, and they don't do that anymore. And it's a little bit more difficult to do an overcoat on it. You really have to take most of that clear coat off, but it's not a full blast. It's kind of a different operation, so we wouldn't have to contain the tank. On the interior, you've got some floating stuff going on there. So, again, we would recommend a chem clean. Just clean the interior tank, wash it out, do whatever needs to be done. There's an old-style overflow we would replace, and then the staining and things, you know, that's just kind of, after a while, they get like that. So, our recommendations on this older tank, pretty good shape still. If you ever ride by the tank, you can see there's a fair amount of holidays in the coatings. It looks like they used to be where the coaxial cables went in a different location. so that you can see there's some pretty obvious places where it was painted, but they missed some spots. At a minimum, we want to try to probably clean that up. But again, you could wait 3 years or so on the exterior to kind of do it all at once. The interior is a little bit not as good as the first one, still pretty good. Again, we recommend a renovation maybe within the next 3 to 5 years on the interior. Some more minor repairs for this tank, the sail antenna stuff, we probably want to address that a little bit. And then chem clean and possibly a mixer on that tank as well. So this is kind of the way that we demonstrate the difference between our funding model. You know, this is kind of the classic, you bid it, you don't do a whole lot, and then maybe you have a problem somewhere down the road every now and again, then you have another big spike of a bid somewhere down the road. What we do is we do everything all at the beginning, we spread that cost over a longer period of time, then it drops down to a pretty low annual fee out into perpetuity, and you never have those spikes again. The next coating would be covered, the next interior coating would be covered, it's just all covered as part of the program. Any questions on that? That's basically our asset management program, you know, in a nutshell. You know, what we provide is, like I said, risk transfer. We take over the risk, we coat the tank, we renovate it, we bring it up to code, bring it up to the we don't call it brand new condition, but we try to get it as close to brand new condition. And the thought is that we're going to maintain that tank out into the future. We're going to inspect it every year. We're going to make sure there's never any issues. We're going to be responsible for the tank, the two tanks in this case, for the town. And really all it does is it just is one less thing for the town to worry about. We become your asset management provider for the tanks. And we can do it for a lot of different assets, but you know, the tank is what we're talking about today. We do have other programs. We could just do a one-off coating if you wanted to. Or we could do a more, kind of regulated where we just inspect it for a while and then we do a coating at some point down the road. With this being my first meeting with you, I just kind of wanted to give you an overview of our program and see what the temperature was about pricing something like that up or looking at something like that in more detail. So that's kind of what my plan was here. There's a number of different towns that are on our program right now locally. I can provide references for any of those if you guys wanted to talk to any of those. Many of them have been on for 15, 20 years, so they've been through multiple coding cycles with us. I would say all of them are happy. I've met with all these people since I've been here. They all love the program. So
you just got done doing Bridgeville.
Yep, we just painted Bridgeville last year.
Yep. I'm not sure about the one tank in the industrial park, but this one up here, the first one you were talking about, there's, and you said anything on the ground, there's an in-ground pump that supplies that.
Right.
Would you be responsible?
No.
Okay.
No. Any pumps or valves or things that are basically outside of the tank, we would not. Okay. But like the overflow pipe, we are responsible for that. We do make recommendations with respect to safety and things, so we have some towns where they don't have a fence around it, we recommend they put a fence up. If the tank at industrial park, the ladder, actually, we would recommend that be raised up and have what we call a ladder gate added to it. Even though it's in an industrial park, it's inside of a gate. You know, our recommendation and what really OSHA...
Like what you got up here.
Right, same thing. That other tank, the ladder goes all the way to the ground, so someone could easily access it. If they wanted to, so we would recommend taking that and changing that out. But yeah, anything that's that I would call outside of the tank, we don't cover it. Yep.
And how long is the contract for?
It's a 1-year contract that renews automatically. So basically what typically happens is, like, let's look at Caroline Street. If we'd said we're going to do a full renovation in year 3, you know, we would do the interior, exterior, and then maybe do the exterior, the interior piece in year 5. We would design a cost spread for the first 5 years or even 6 years to get all that work done. So you'd have to pay for that piece. But then after that, it drops down to just a simple annual fee. And the annual fee covers the inspections, emergency repairs, kind of all of our services, but also covers the future coding. So 10 years down the road, we'll do the exterior again. 15 years down the road, we do the interior again. So there is a fair amount of money that's built in But you can cancel it in your sickness and say, you know what, Rob, you did everything for us. We're good. We don't want to do this anymore. There's no harm, no foul. We're not allowed to cancel. We can't cancel. The only reason we can cancel is if you don't pay. So as long as you're in good standing with us, we are not allowed to cancel the contract. And what that does is it provides, again, that risk management for you and the accountability. We're not allowed to say, hey, this isn't working out. We don't want to do it. Meanwhile, we've taken in 5 years of your money toward the next coding. We're not allowed to do that. Contract specifically disallows us from canceling the contract. Any other questions?
And how much would this one-year contract be?
It really depends on the size and kind of what we get into. I would say that the upfront renovations for tanks this size, you're going to be in, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 work for that piece. And then it usually drops down to maybe $25,000-$30,000 a year per tank. I would say it would be typical for tanks of this size. I've got a bunch up in Queen Anne's County, and they're all in that kind of range, roughly.
So that would be the upfront, and then there would be the yearly maintenance.
The upfront payment would be
the stuff like for the coating and the inside cleaning and all that stuff.
Yep.
Whether you did it year one or three, we've paid for it up front.
But we can spread that.
Okay.
So that's the other thing. If you said to me, you know, we only have X number of dollars per year for our water budget, and we had to spread that 5 or 6 years, we could do that. Now, the issue you run into is once you get out really past a three-year spread, you start paying for the cost of money. It's just the nature of the way it is. So really, a three-year or a five-year are typical spreads because five-year is about the max we want to go typically before it starts getting really expensive just for the cost of money. We have some towns that have tried to spread it out to 10 years, and it becomes almost twice as much as what it should be just because we're predicting what money's going to be worth 10 years from now, and there's a certain amount of risk involved with that on our end. So I would say if we could keep it to a 3 or 5 year spread, then that's the most bang for your buck. And the cost that we provide for the upfront renovation is pretty much the exact same cost you would get if you bid the job. It's the same. We don't. Our prices are competitive. The only thing you don't have to pay for is engineering fees, bid fees, all that stuff that you would do for a bid. And we're also providing a perpetual warranty as part of our program, where with a traditional bid, you get a one-year warranty. We do traditional bids. It's not something that we don't do, but we only provide a one-year warranty. That's it, because that's the industry standard. So this provides a little bit of a different approach. The cost spreading and the perpetual warranty, I think, is attractive to many towns, and that's why we've developed a program like this.
Now, once the initial investment, and you said like a yearly maintenance, can you give me a ballpark figure what that would be?
The yearly maintenance fee? That's the one. That's the $30,000 a year.
Okay.
And that's per tank?
Per tank, correct?
Yeah. Because they're roughly the same size. I mean, one's a two and the other one's a three. So it may be a little less for the smaller one, but that's typical. And we can work all that up. I mean, what I would say is if this is something you guys would like to pursue, then it's just a matter of me coming up with a scope of work, getting Larry just sort of agreeing, and maybe Scott or Steve agreeing that that's what we want to do, and then we can put a price together. And what we do generally is we show it out on the spreadsheet that goes out 15 years. So you can see exactly what it will cost for the next 15 years. You don't have to do it for 15 years, but that usually is a good demonstration for many towns where they can now project, okay, our water piece is done for 15 years. Yeah. That's usually how we do it.
And that covers both tanks.
Yeah, you can have both on the same tank. Yeah. Or you can bring one on and then bring the other one on later. It really is up to you. You know, we're very flexible.
So when you do the tank clean out, and I don't know much about the water tank, so do you have to have permits and stuff like that to be able to like clean the tank, spray the tank, and flush the tank?
We do.
And is that stuff that goes out through a regular drain, or does it go through a wastewater treatment plant?
Typically that one can just go through the regular drain.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just clean water. I mean, the chemicals that we use to clean it would be similar to the chlorine that they put in the tank anyway. There's nothing toxic or anything in there.
Okay.
Now, in general, we do run it into the, well, we probably would run into the storm drain, you know, whatever the drain is that's on the site. So that may actually end up in your wastewater. I don't know. I'm not sure where that goes. We wouldn't run into the river or anything.
Right, okay.
Ditch rate won't.
Well, it's funny because there was water running into that ditch the day we were up there.
Well,
I was like, where's that coming from? He's like, I don't know. It's all weird. So. Any other questions?
I don't have any more. Do you guys have any more?
No.
I would say you could get with Steve and Larry and try to, you know, work out the proposal or what you guys think for the layout, and we can start with that.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, the thing that we always try to do is make sure that we're working within the boundaries of your funding, and also that we're making the tanks look good and they work properly. That's kind of our mission. So I think it's a good fit for Fredericksburg. We have a lot of towns like this on our program. We don't do a whole lot with really big cities. It's just not the nature of the beast. But for something relatively small, I think it can be helpful for you guys.
Great.
Well, appreciate
thank you for coming out and
no problem.
The presentation. We appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. For sure. And if there's any other questions, I'll leave a couple of my cards here. Pass a couple of cards down in case you guys have any questions.
No,
we were talking about that TV earlier. Those things they saved my butt a couple of times. You show up at these meetings and people don't have any way to look at stuff. It's helpful to have TV.
You know, amazing that's light enough for you to carry around. I remember when TV that size.
No, these things are super light. And I bought this thing, which was like a. To keep my TV warm that I keep on my screen and porch. I was like, that's great for carrying some TV around. So that's all. Yeah.
So you plugged it into the plug on the wall and the plug
doesn't
work, so we might need to have the plug on the wall. You plugged the TV into that plug and it didn't work.
I might have pressed the right button.
I'll take care of it.
That could have been human error.
Four.
I have user error all the time, so it would not be unusual for me to have it. Okay, Larry, you're next. You want to take the next one?
Assistance with the annual rate selection is essential, and we need some assistance on that. It's also relative to some other things, maximizing the impact of the solar panel project and having some cost-effective heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and some heating for large cabins. So there's a number of projects. 25% water, 25% sewer, 50% general fund, and then probably sometime end of August, we put out for the notice for the good consultant with the idea of ideally bringing somebody on board or having them available anywhere in October. This way we can, I think it was a lot of October when we locked in electrical rooms this year. So that's a daily market, so.
Would this individual only be working with us for this next budget year, or do you see, like, sort of keeping them on, like, you know, developing a relationship with them going forward, at, you know, for further other years in the future?
It would be better to keep them around for just a window of time. We're also not budgeting any money to make the improvements that they
right.
Make us assess, because frankly, we don't have that this year. If our $8,000 consultant saves us $2,000, then I think we could probably figure out the $2,000 savings on our own. If our $8,000 consultant, by definition, saves us $8,001,
these paid is
by definition, yeah. it's a net benefit. But I think we really need to get a hold of the cycle of what the solar panel, mm-hmm. the solar project is going to bring us, because that was promised to reduce our costs over there at the sewer plant
dramatically. Yeah,
and let's see a cycle of what that looks like. It's one of the back end frustrations here. It would be good to have had that panel project up and running for the summer. If we don't get plugged in until
September.
Yep, we've lost the sunny days facing south, and we have to wait another whole trip around the sun again to cycle to see what that benefit looks like from the peak time when we should be generating energy for us, and to sell some back to the grid too. So, just saying, long answer is yeah. I'd say two calendar years or two fiscal years where we've got at least a full 12-month cycle on the solar project. Is going to give us at least some training, because otherwise we get 6 months of data, 6 months or 7 months of data on the solar project, and then fiscal year ends, well, you know,
right.
Nobody's tracking that anymore. Or nobody really knows what they're doing is tracking that. I think we can all learn this stuff, but I think it's a matter of kind of connecting the dots on where it is we need to, you know, either maximize the solar panel project, look to put solar panels somewhere else, and that we've got a safe roof. I mean, this building may afford that. I don't know. No? Yeah. Okay.
I'd go to the town bond first.
It's got, well, we're running out of footprint. We don't have grounds to put it on.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But because otherwise, you know, we're putting it on a football field out of Chambers Park. I mean, there's just no.
You can put it in that softball field.
Yeah. There's no more. There's no
more play ball here. Anymore.
Yeah. There's no more field. I mean, you know, the solar project out there is 4 acres. We don't have that kind of footprint anymore to just put, you know, an array of solar panels out anymore.
Right.
So we got to find places for it. It's not unknown around here, you know? I mean, even if people have just got relatively small panel operations on their on single-family residences, there are places you can't do that. I'm glad we don't stop people from doing that. You
know? You're right over the belt where they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right over the places where they've got really hard historic districts, and they're nowhere. Mm-hmm. So, we're at least not at the mercy of that.
The other thing I would add on here, too, is consolidating bills. Why do we pay Constellation and Delmarva?
We don't have any.
Oh, good.
We consolidate.
Perfect. Check them off the list, then.
You would know this better than I do, but I don't know October is early enough timing for the consultant to help with
No, you should start earlier than that. Yep. because you can actually start shopping when you're coming into October. You're starting to hit where energy starts to go up because of winter. Your cheapest time tends to be like August going into October, so they probably should bring them in a little sooner. I think you can shop up to 6 months for your expiration.
Okay.
For pricing.
Okay.
For it to take effect. So.
Lindsay, you know anything about electric?
No.
Nor does she want to. Exactly.
You got a light switch, you turned it on.
I do. That's what I can do. This? Or this?
Yep. Don't do any wiring.
And if it's not working, just push the button in the middle.
Yeah. Right.
To reset it.
That's if it goes.
Yeah.
We're checking.
So you think bid, like, end of June?
I would say yes.
Get it back. Okay.
Yeah.
To be awarded. Like,
yeah, because now the person has time to shop. Because, I mean, the market changes daily. But at least you could start shopping. They would need time to consolidate the bills. There would be that reflect change different from when the solar panel goes online. But right now, it's still TBD, so.
While you're on the process of bidding consultants, and I know this isn't on the agenda, so it won't be for a decision tonight, but I know we've discussed it before, and we've started to see this problem more with USDA and MDE wanting the town engineer to have been competitively procured. I don't think that Rao Engineering ever was. They've been town engineer for as long as I can remember. So it's probably something that we want to start doing as you're going to start doing new projects, because MDE and USDA are now saying they're not going to cover any of the work that your town engineer does because they weren't procured.
Well, that would make it easier moving forward on projects if we had already been through that process,
yep,
instead of having to bid everyone out.
Yep.
Okay.
For the larger projects, like any time you're going to do the wastewater treatment plant, PER, or upgrade, things that are in the hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, you're going to have to procure them anyway. But at least for smaller projects, you will have a record of
going up for the bid process to,
yeah,
get that. Yeah, I'm not opposed to that. I think that's a good idea, so we could discuss that earlier. So do you want to put that on in April?
Yeah, you could do an on-call engineering RFP, and Bob and I have had the discussion, so, and I would obviously call him beforehand so he doesn't see it on an agenda and be like, oh.
Just to make our life easier moving forward with other projects, we would like to just have it already.
Yeah, who knows? A new firm could come in at, like, $40 an hour.
Yeah.
One.
You never know.
Well, Bob might change his to $40.
Probably.
Not.
$40 an hour for the first week.
For the first hour.
Yeah.
Do we have an advantage by pre-qualifying
Bob or firm putting in the middle?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
In large projects, they're going to make you bid them every time anyway.
Okay.
And generally around here, because it's so small, the same three or four firms bid every time. I have noticed more recently, particularly USDA is getting more particular with picking bidders, as far as making sure the firm is qualified to do the work, so, and not necessarily taking the lowest price.
Do we have to do that with a lawyer, too?
If you'd like. Can I draft it?
We'll have to get a consultant on that.
We are looking at, again, we all got the news that the supposed $2.2 million heading our way, and the need to spend those on a relatively finite list of things, water and sewer projects being included on that finite list of things. So if there are, we can talk about that at another time.
I would say priority listing for,
because there is going to be engineering and design costs, at least some of these things. He didn't get into, Rob didn't get into the water meters, but the water meters would certainly fit that bill. The remote read water meters. And that for us would be about $500,000. $480,000 ballpark, $500,000. So we've got $2.2 million to spend on water projects, water and sewer projects. All of a sudden that becomes realistic in the not too distant future.
And that would make it easier on them to read.
Make it
right. Or more accurate. Let's get back to the accurate way as opposed to
They're reading them now, aren't they?
To make it accurate, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
They actually drive down the street.
Okay.
Since we live on our physical budget year to year, can we carry this over?
The grants vary. I know some of the grants that we are getting for Anne Arundel County Public Schools, we have 3 years to spend the money.
Okay.
Over, I mean, but it depends on the grant. So this one might be that it's a 2 or 3 year grant, that we have the time to plan accordingly, because some of the stuff that we would want to do would take planning and stuff to get done. It's not like something that you can get on the Lowe's and buy a bunch of put
for
it
the
in.
The money they're giving away is going to have to be multiple years. There's no way it can be spent on that.
Yeah, 6 months.
I could try.
I mean, for us, yes. I mean,
could
that, on our side, but
could
like,
that go toward
that could be a retreat.
Our part of Old Denton Road?
Good question. We already may be too far into Old Denton Road for it to count.
I was also curious, is there any more storm water we need to separate?
Yeah.
That would get that done, plus the road pave at the same time?
Yeah. We could do the 300 block of Maple. We could do all the 100 block of Marsh Avenue.
Really, the 300 block? Can we be worried about that one?
I would put it at the bottom of the list, Mars Avenue.
Yeah, me and the dog really enjoyed the sandbox we've got there. But still in all,
right.
And there are some things that are going to be kind of a sweep where we do need to get our engineer involved. Just add time to it, you know. The upside is we do have those pending grants that Ralph put in. So if those were approved sometime in the next year, we would have our match because those are all water and sewer projects.
That wouldn't go towards the dam?
It could. I mean, my expectation is it could. I mean, we're still trying to figure out if there's water quality projects. Jeremy Goldman and I were having a discussion about stormwater. And I think everyone's still trying to figure out if stormwater projects would be included, because there's nothing else we could look at the places that don't have a curb and gutter and count that as a stormwater project. Maybe not sidewalk.
Not the 300 block. It got washed out once, but at the bottom of the 300 block.
I think the folks on Vesper and Vernon would really appreciate some curbs and gutters as well. I mean, that's the constant problem with storm sewer. Because it takes all the sand and stuff. There's just no curb there. There's no curb to stop it. No gutter. We can't really sweep the street.
The curbs are pretty good cleaned in.
The way it is now, those folks are sure don't. So, again, $2 million isn't going to get you far. You know what I mean? And still trying to figure out if you put a water line somewhere and repave the road, if that's a water project or if that's a road project, because road projects aren't specific.
Yeah, I think there it's to get jobs and people working, so it's an infrastructure.
Yeah, Peter French on speed now.
Yeah, report back and let us
know.
Yeah, you do that.
So there's a lot uncertain, but at least that's one of the things to put on the list as well. So if you go out and just do that with the county engineer, we're going to keep whatever engineer busy in the next year and a half or so.
Alrighty. Okay, so next there was a request for an executive session for real estate matters. Can I get a motion to go into executive session to obtain legal advice, please?
I'll make that motion.